Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Hello, and welcome to the next week in the series of You Asked For It. There's this chance to go through the series from through the month of October and into November, answering some of the questions that the congregation will frequently ask us. And today's topic is a fun one. It's going to meander a little bit all over the place, and so you'll have to work with me. It's a little philosophical in some spaces, so we'll just pound through, and we'll try and do our best to communicate the answer to this aged riddle. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? Where is this place where only good stuff happens to me? Why me? Why did this happen to me? Why did this bad thing happen? Why did that thing good happen to them? Why not me? Why me? I'm reminded of the movie Stuart Little, where you have a mouse in an orphanage with actual real human children, and a couple comes in to adopt Stuart the mouse. And if you're a child in that scenario, you've got to be going, what? How was I overlooked for a mouse? An actual rat ranked higher in the orphanage than me. That's gotta hurt your feelings a little bit. Why me? Why did this happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? And I kind of want to take you on this little bit of an adventure through the scripture. It begins at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis. There's three trees in Genesis I want to talk about, and then one in the New Testament in Jerusalem, Calvary's tree. So as we get working through this, there are four trees. And if you can remember these four trees, it may help part of your journey in answering this question of the why do good things or why do bad things happen to good people and why do good things happen to bad people. You have the beginning of creation, and at the centerpiece of God's utopia, of this place of excessive beauty or handcrafted by the Almighty himself, at the center of it, we have two trees. We have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we have the tree of life. These are recorded in Genesis 2:9. And he goes on, and this is what the Lord asks. Not asks, he commands. Genesis 2:16 and 17 says this. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. When you eat from it, you will certainly die. Now, why does a loving God at the center of his masterpiece, this utopian place called Eden, this fantastical garden with all sorts of beautiful fruits to eat and things to enjoy and awesome things to look at and all sorts of flowering things, why at the center of it does he put the capacity for death? He says, you can eat, anything in here is fine. But at the center, this one thing, these two trees, one in particular being the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat from this, you will surely die. Why would a loving parent at the center of the home he's created for his creation, Adam and Eve, why would he put at the center of it the capacity for death? It seems like a crazy parenting tactic, but whatever. He's the Lord. He can do whatever he wants. But it helps to kind of weave your way into the mind of God that one of the central pieces to our faith is this capacity for free will. Free will powers so many of the choices that flow out of creation. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? If God was loving in this way, why not just protect Adam and Eve at all times? Is that what a loving parent? You just protect them at all times. Where does protection work from this place of I want to surround you with care? Why does it work its way into maybe feeling a taste of control? You see, at the center of the garden is choice. At the center of the garden is free will. You can choose or you can choose to not. Sometimes we do these funny things with our children. Or perhaps as a child yourself, this was done to you. Where you're interested in, as our children are younger, you want to protect them at all costs. You guard them. But as they mature, as they grow up, you recognize that I can't protect them unless I can control every aspect. Why send your kids to school? At school, someone might say something terrible to them. Might say something that just crushes their little soul. Why risk it? Just don't send them. Why let them talk to anybody? Because you never know. Maybe they're a creeper. Maybe there's someone who wants to say, you know, what if they say something that's a derivative or maybe a little off color? You don't want to risk that. You want to protect your kid. Why? Just keep them away from everybody. You want to control their environment. We do this with things like resources or the internet. But this is how things move from I'm protecting you to I'm controlling you. See, without the choice, there's no power. Without the choice to love, how could it be love? I'll follow it this way. You have your kid, they're going through life and they're making their choices, and you're like, well, you're not, maybe if something comes up and you're not really fond of that idea or fond of pursuing that, and you're like, I don't think I'm going to pay for that. Well, then they hit a space where it's like, I'll get a job. I'll pay for it myself. Okay, well, maybe the internet at your home is guarded. I know I do that with mine, but there's capacity where you're like, well, what about when they're not at home? They're on that Tim Hortons Wi-Fi. What then? How are you going to control that? Well, maybe I don't want them going a certain place. Well, I don't really want to give you a drive to that because I want to protect you. That's fine. I'll get my own license and I'll drive myself. Well, I want to control what happens under my roof. No problem. I'll move out from your roof. And instead of going after a kid's heart, you go after this pseudo dome of protection. But what it gets spun into is you're controlling me. And if there's no capacity to do otherwise, how is it love? Is the loving thing sometimes to let the kid burn his hand? You're like, this is going to be terrible. I don't want to see it. This is the kind of crude illustration. That kid reaching for, you don't like, encourage them to do it. But every once in a while when you go, whoo, that is hot, Ozzy. I told you. But if I just wrap up their arms in duct tape, put them in a plastic ball so that they can never get damaged, they'll never grow. So is love protection at all times? Or is love giving that capacity to do wrong? And this is where God comes in and built into his creation, built into utopia, built into the Garden of Eden, is the capacity for wrong. And this is an odd place for us to dance around. Where does love intersect with why do bad things happen to good people? You want God to make nothing bad ever happen for you? You're going to need to ask him to remove your free will. You're going to need to ask him to remove everyone's free will. Because it's not just something that came to Adam and Eve, but to their whole lineage. And they had children, and they had children, and children had children, and great-grandchildren, and now you and I have free will. I want to talk a quick second about John Wayne. Here's a photo of John Wayne. John Wayne in this particular movie. Well, we'll talk a bit about that later, but the actor John Wayne, maybe an old-timey reference for some of you, but famous actor. Now, John Wayne was raised Presbyterian. He was married three times to Catholic wives, and in 1978, he himself became Catholic, and he refers to it as a cardiac Catholic. He was in the midst of some health struggles, and he became a Catholic and believer there. In 1964, he beat lung cancer. He smoked from a young age. But in 1979, at 72 years of age, he passed from stomach cancer. Okay. On a side story, during the 50s, I'll come back to John Wayne in a second. In the 50s, they were doing atomic testing in Nevada. It's a big deal. Because it had big swaths of open land and they were able to set off nukes and do nuclear testing. And the U.S. Department of Atomic Energy did a variety of tests in Nevada at the time. Now, as time passed, and maybe it was the following months, they started to notice that the livestock, or that the things in the area, whether it was, livestock or the animals in the area, that there was problems with the way things are being born. Things are being born deformed. Things are having all sorts of health crises, deformities, deaths. And these things are reported to the government. They said it's not these atomic tests. And they were downwind of the atomic fallout. Now, some 25 years later, by 1979, a congressional investigation happened that all the studies that the Department of Atomic Energy were doing were fraudulent. They found massive fraud, and the commission in 1979 found that they had been lying about the results of what this was doing to the people downwind and to the animals downwind. In 1990, the U.S. Congress apologized and put a bill together to help pay and compensate for some of these things. So, let's tie it all together. In the early 50s in Utah, just actually a couple hundred kilometers away from where these nuclear tests were happening, John Wayne was shooting a movie called The Conqueror. It was a film where he was Genghis Khan, and that's where he was in that. And so the question, as it relates to free will, your free will and others' free will, what killed John Wayne? So was it that he was near these nuclear test sites and that the fallout from there was somehow affecting groundwater and the staff and crew at this site were being affected? But he was also a smoker, and this is a little ad from the era of John Wayne that shows that the doctors prefer Camel cigarettes, okay? And these are some of the those reasons why. So John Wayne was an avid smoker, but he was also filming near these test sites. Now, who killed John Wayne? What, or did he just up and die for no reason? What happened here? Was it his fault? Or was it someone else's fault? Was it his free will? Or was it someone else's free will? You see, we later learn that 42% of the cast and crew of that movie developed cancers. Approaching half of them developed a variety of cancers. And 21% of them passed due to these things. Was it the nuclear fallout, dust getting blown over into their set as these things were happening concurrent or in the same era of time? Was it the smoking, the excessive smoking since he was a young man? Well, I know that the smoking cost him one lung and two ribs. He had to have those removed. And then him ultimately dying of stomach cancer. You see, I want free will for me, but maybe not for everybody else. So one guy is poisoning the air with his free will, but my free will, I choose to enjoy a camel. So where does the death of John Wayne resonate with you? Is there a part of it where you go, maybe he shouldn't have chosen to do that? Maybe it's like the evils of the shadowy government doing whatever they feel like, and this radiation dust creeping into his body. I leave it with you, but it's to show that there is free will for me, but that also must mean that you get free will as well. So why do bad things happen to good people? Well, free will is number one on the list. There's things that happen to me by my choices. There's things that happen to me that I had nothing to do with, other people's choices. But that same free will goes everywhere. And it's something that I have to contend with in why bad things happen. Why pick Stuart Little over an actual human child? Now, that covers trees 1 and 2 at the center of the Garden of Eden. You see, after they ate from the first tree, God asks them, he tries to meet up with them, but they're nowhere to be found in the garden. But lo and behold, they pop their heads out in Genesis 3:7. You see, they had taken the fruit. God asks them these things. They had taken the fruit. Then the eyes of both of them, Genesis 3:7, were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed together fig leaves to make coverings for themselves. They sewed together fig leaves to make coverings for themselves. So the Lord asks, did you guys eat the fruit that I told you not to eat? And immediately the man says, the woman you gave me, she gave me some fruit. She gave it to me. So she goes, the snake told me that this was going to be okay, and that I didn't see the issue. The snake told me, and the snake doesn't care because he's already doomed with an eternal torment as it's represented by Satan. There's this shift off in tree number 3 of I will cover things up. Why do bad things happen to good people? I will cover this up. I'm still wrapping this idea through my brain. I might be ready to present it sometime next year. Somewhere, this is coming together for me, where accountability and perfection and shame all tie together with I want to cover up. So this idea of perfection, I want other people to see this about me, so I have to live this, my life, in a certain way or another way so that people don't really see me. There's this other aspect of accountability where I don't want to fess up because I don't want to be seen in this particular light. There's this part of shame where I cover up. And this reflexive thing that happens in humanity, I want to cover up and then hide from God. Adam and Eve, where are you? Well, we were hiding. Well, why were you hiding? Because we were naked. Who told you you were naked? This immediate cover up of things. And I see there's something in here about accountability and perfection and shame. I want to be viewed a certain way. Some of these social media things. I want to be viewed a certain way. I'm gonna pepper out little highlights so that I'm seen a certain way. I want to curate my feed so that I'm seen a certain way. I'm a model on Instagram. Okay, awesome, good for you. It's like I'm a quarterback on Madden 2024. I'm a World War II veteran in Call of Duty. It's not real. It's not accurate. It's a facade. I want to be seen a certain way. And I think somewhere tied into that is shame. I'm still exploring it. So I'll get back to you a bit more on that next year. Scripture says it this way: whoever conceals their sin does not prosper. Proverbs 28:13. But the one who confesses and renounces it finds mercy. What's a helpful thing to do? I think sometimes when mistakes happen, you just fall on your sword, man. Just own it. And for those of you with kids, you'll know if you find something versus they lay it out, it's like, hey, Dad, this is what happened. I did this. You're like, okay, well, that's not good. Don't do that. Let's not do that again. But if you find out something that was hidden from you, oh, it'll make you lose your mind. You're hiding it. You're being sneaky. Will drive you crazy. Versus just coming to the front with it. Why do bad things happen to good people? If I'm required to live another life in front of my current life, I'm living two lives. And it may not be, you think, oh, for the wrong reason. I'm not even intentionally being duplicitous. But that living a second life in order to cover my authentic self, one, it's got to be just completely exhausting to live life this way, just instead of just being the one person that you are. But there's also this tie-in of deception, concealing, that I think makes life harder. Why do bad things happen to good people? Maybe it's that you're leading a second life and you're exhausted. Maybe that's what it is. And finally, the fourth tree. Calvary's tree, the cross of Jesus. It's referred to in 1 Peter 2:24. Here's the ESV, English Standard Version, says it this way: he himself, referring to Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Calvary's tree. The redemptive tree. So why did this happen? Here's a fascinating story from the book of John, chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Now, this is a crazier one to wrap your brain around and maybe a harder pill to swallow. So I can accept, it's a bummer, if I did something and I try and cover it up and things go bad, I go, oh, that's on me. I did that. There's no ownership. Just own it. The next one saying, well, I didn't even do this, and this is the effect that it had on me. That's like, I understand that if I have free will, everybody else has it too, and sometimes they make choices that I don't like. But it's a gift from God. This one is that maybe instead of the question on being why, is a question, is a redirection on, is there purpose that either happens because of this, Is there something positive that can come out of this? Is this an example of God's miracle-working power? Is there a possibility that this isn't all that it appears to be in terms of positive or negative? Romans 8:28, and we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purposes. Romans 5:33-5 says, not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, perseverance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. That same shame. Somehow, some way, is it possible that the suffering that you faced isn't about you? Is it possible that the suffering you faced is something that is to be used in the kingdom? It's a harder thing to swallow, so it would be crazy to wrap your head around sometimes. You see, I've had friends, dear friends, die of cancer with a smile on their face. You're like, how do you die with cancer and have a smile on your face? That's a little odd. But they've seen the effects of what their journey has brought to their family, an increased connection in their family, an increased love in their family. And they don't consider it all for naught. I've had friends lose children. Say, how could you ever have joy again? Whereas, and the parent just says, I know that that the kid's in a great place, they're in the arms of Jesus. They're in heaven now, and I'm not looking for the answer why. I'm looking that perhaps this story, perhaps I'm here to encourage somebody on their journey. And instead of looking at it as a me, it's a, how can I use this? How can this be something? Is there purpose in this? Can purpose be drawn out of this? And it's a different question. Instead of, why did that bad thing happen to me? I've had friends lose fortunes and say, my true fortunes aren't here anyway. I've had friends have their marriages blow up and reunite. I've had friends have their marriages blow up and stay blown up, messing around in an affair with coworkers. I said, why would you exchange hamburger for steak? And he said, my steak has an attitude problem. Why does someone's depths of sorrow and agony, how could that possibly be used for good? Your story, the things where you're like, why did this happen? Was it something that you did? Was it something that was done to you? Is it possible in the end that this could be part of your story, your picture, that God uses you to drag somebody else out of the muck of life? I had a friend lose a job and go from that job. They said, I never would have launched into what I'm doing now had I not lost that job. I would have just stayed comfortable. I would have stayed, you know, just stuck and kind of in where I was. I needed to change anyway. I knew I needed the change, but I just didn't have it in me to do it. And once the job was lost, they launched into something new and love their new job and love their new life. And so you say, well, how does a tragic thing turn into something beautiful? Why is this man blind, Jesus? This happened so that the work of God might be displayed in him. You see, you live in a fallen world, and sometimes it falls on you. What to do in those moments, how to live in those moments, how to stand in those moments, how to get back up in those moments. maybe part of your journey and the things that you've gone through are there as an encouragement or as are there for someone else. Maybe that's your piece of the puzzle. Would I go through what I went through in order to see God's miracle? To tell the story. You see, he causes his son to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous, Matthew 5:45. To adjust the perspective on the four trees, the tree of Calvary, the cross, the redemptive tree, it says, regardless of what happened in the back, there's hope in the future. Regardless of what unfolded in your crazy past, all things are new with Jesus. Regardless of the loss, the depths, the despair, the anguish, there is a new hope, a new beginning for you with the fourth tree. There is a redemption that he has for you today. And I want to close with just a prayer for you and for you. That you would know that regardless of the why the bad things happen to good people, maybe it's someone's free will, but maybe there is still something good that can come out of all that. Jesus, I thank you for my friends both live and online today. Lord, speak with them. Jesus, let them know it's going to be okay. But we know life has dealt some people some crazy stories. And you're able to work all things together for good to them who love you and are called according to your purposes. Jesus, you love us. You love each and every one. There's nothing that slips you by. Lord, and so we ask today for those who may be feeling a little low. Lord, lift them up. That they might know that their story could be a blessing to someone else. Lord, grant peace to those who need it today. Grant healing to those who need it today. Grant wholeness to those who need it today. Jesus, and we thank you for these steps forward. We want to put you at the center of all these things. Lord, and see the purposes that you have for us. Bless each one we ask in your name. Amen. Amen. Have a great day.